Is anybody still here listening? I'm late tonight. Broadcasting live February 15th. Looks like a lot of people have already gone home. Anybody still here? Anybody listening? Hello. Is anybody out there? It's live. I'm live. I'm live here. I'm assuming you're hearing it live. Meditation is all about here and now. So I'm live here, you're live there. Here and now is interesting. Here and now. We very rarely live in the here and now. And think about it, how much of our time is spent running around in circles. Running through, racing. My mind is racing all the time. Working overtime. Even when we relax, we begin to daydream more. We indulge in entertainment or conversation with others. It's very hard to be in the here and now. It's honestly not hard in the sense of troublesome. It's just very difficult. And unless you're really good at it, it's quite painful. Not because of being in the present moment is painful, it's actually quite liberating, right? But when you're not doing it right, and you're sitting there suffering, forcing yourself to sit still, forcing yourself to not chase, not run away from the present moment, but when you can't actually be in the present moment, that's when it's difficult. Because being in the present moment is liberating, but it also liberates our minds. It liberates the deep dark parts of our minds. Not even the deep, but just the dark parts. So you find yourself accosted by your emotions, by your desires, by your aversions. Meditation tests you being in the present moment. It forces you to look at yourself. Which, if you can stay in the present moment, actually isn't troublesome. The problem is when you can't be in the present moment, you are tossed and turned by your emotions. And when you say, no, I'm not going to indulge in them, I'm going to sit here and learn how to be in the present moment, that can be very troublesome. A lot of suffering. That's why meditation can be painful. Meditation itself is truly freeing, liberating. It's the most peaceful, awesome thing. But there are only two ways you can really get to that awesomeness. One, by forcing yourself into it, by forcing everything away. So that living in the here and now is just about one thing, one object, one state of mind. That's samatha meditation. Or you can or you have to learn how to be flexible, how to practice the art, really. It's like a martial art, being able to deflect, not even deflect, but diffuse, really disappear, I guess, is the point. You know, this Zen poem, here we sit, the mountain and I, until only the mountain remained. I always like that poem. Really, when you disappear and there's only the experience, and the experience like goes right through you. Someone attacks you, but there's no you. And who are they attacking? Who suffers from the attack? So in meditation we focus on the present moment, and you have to constantly refocus yourself because the moment constantly changes. It's like a camera lens that has to focus as the subject moves. You have to constantly realign yourself. That's what the meditation is. You can't rest, and that's what we don't get in the beginning. We are mindful, and, oh, look at how mindful I am, and then you stop being mindful. And then you say, well, that was working for a moment, but now it's not working. But it always works. Meditation is always possible. Satin chokohang bhikkave sabbatikang vadami. Mindfulness, O monks, I declare, is always useful. There's no time or place where mindfulness isn't useful. I suppose an exception would be when you're unconscious or asleep. But barring that, there's no problem you could be in, no situation you could be in. I don't know about drunk. I can't say as I haven't drank alcohol since I started being mindful, but I would still assume there's a potential to be mindful. It wouldn't be easy. Probably still there. So today's quote is actually, if you didn't recognize it, it's actually what I went over when we talked about Anapanasati, when we had the last quote on Anapanasati. This is Santo Jeva, where it says, is peaceful and excellent. Peaceful means Santo. Jeva means and also. Panito cha. And Panita. Panita doesn't mean excellent. It means subtle or refined. Or it means refined. Not really excellent. Asejanako cha means not something. Why doesn't he translate these properly? I mean, he's doing okay. Just for a purist, He could have done better than that. Asejanako, I mean, it's a negative, so it's a lack of something. Asejanaka. Asejanaka means like adulterated or mixed. Asejanaka means unmixed, unadulterated, really. Meaning it's not caught up in the world. Sukho javiharo, that's correct. Pleasant way of living. Sukho, happiness. Viharo, dwelling. Dwelling, or a happy dwelling. Sukha vihara. Upanupane japapake kusale dhamme. Thanaso antradhapesi upasameti. Antradhapeti upasameti. Tanasa, at that moment, is kind of, I think, Tanasa. Tanaso, not Tanasa, Tanaso. Antaradhapeti. Evil, unwholesome is papako, papake akusale dhamme. In regards to evil, unwholesome dhammas. Antaradhapeti. Dispels them, upasamenti, makes them vanish, causes them to be tranquilized. And you know, the Buddha talked about how mindfulness of breath is very much about the four foundations of mindfulness. So, in terms of vipassana, this means watching the four elements, whether it be the air element in the stomach, which is the pressure, or whether it be the heat or the cold at your lip. It's a very good object for staying in the present moment because it's mostly always there. So you can become enlightened just by watching your stomach. It's definitely possible. Definitely an appropriate object. Want to know where to find enlightenment? Find it in the rising and falling of the stomach. And focus on that for some people, that's all it takes. There are some people who just by focusing on that, I would even guess that there are some people who have, oh, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I bet someone by following the teachings, just in that booklet that I put out. It'd be rare, but I bet there are some people who could. Whether they have or not, I don't know. But it is possible. Someone is just so ready, and all they'd have to do is start doing the walking and the sitting meditation. They can become at least a sotapanna. Because it's all there. It's not. This isn't something hard to find. It's not something, I mean, something out of reach of many of us, most of us. But it's all there. It's only out of reach because we have a hard time finding it and understanding. Our minds are not ready for it. We're too caught up in sensuality. For most of us, we need a lot more than that. We need to actually take a course, spend some serious time meditating before we can understand it. But it's all there. The breath is enough. You know, the body and the mind, watching the body and the mind with the technique that lets you do it and lets you stay objective. You can become enlightened, even in this life. Does anybody have any questions for me tonight? Otherwise I'm going to call it a night. Oh, here's some questions. Meditation, rather than recognize the defilements and waiting for them to subside, can you walk around them, look for a place of freedom? Well, no, because freedom means freedom from the defilements. If you're giving rise to defilements, based on any situation, it means you're... that's the problem. So the whole point is to experience the same things as always without the defilements arising. Something gives rise to greed or anger. The task is to learn how to experience those things without giving rise to greed or anger, rather than avoiding that thing. I mean, you can avoid it, but it's not a long-term solution. Yeah, I'm not broadcasting on YouTube. I'm in my room. Just got off a conference call with my family. We're doing this new thing where we do a video call for the whole family on everybody's birthday. So tomorrow is my older brother's birthday. And he's in Taiwan, so it's his birthday already for him. How should we think about this? I don't quite get the question. So sometimes we have to strive, practice like our hair is on fire, and sometimes we hear we have to give everything up. But that's the whole point, we have to strive to give everything up. It's not really two different things. Not want anything. Well, the progressions are turning away from wanting. I don't know. I mean, I hope that what I wrote in the second volume on how to meditate, the last chapter that I wrote, was supposed to sort of make that clear that we are striving to give up wanting. Working to give up wanting. Yeah, you should determine to attain them, for sure. Determination is sort of, I guess, the answer to this question of how do you practice if you got to give up wanting? How do you want to practice? Well, you don't really want to, you just have determination. Determination means the intention, which is usually based on, like, wisdom and understanding of the importance and so on. Okay. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Maybe we'll do a Dhammapada for tomorrow. Anyway, have a good night.